Stan, the story we were talking about, a big glowing red ball of light. Couple folks got into a pickup truck with their 30-06 rifle, and off they go.
That's correct. They're proceeding up towards the pasture. They get up to the top of the hill, and about 250 feet away is this object, which now appears to be like a bright white dome-shaped object, which appears to be right on the ground or right up directly above the ground, approximately 100 feet or so in diameter. It's illuminating the area, and there's this very high-pitched sound emanating from it. As they're walking towards that area, they're also hearing like a baby crying sound and two different odd sounds at the same time. So anyhow, they're focusing on this domed object, and they're all fascinated. They can't believe what they're seeing. And as they're watching this thing, their attention is drawn to a fence line about 75 feet away. And these fence posts are about 6 feet tall. And they notice two figures slowly walking along the fence line in their direction. Well, the first impression is that they're looking at two bears. And they realize these things are bipedal, they're upright, and they're taller than the fence posts. One's about 8.5, maybe 9 feet tall. The other one's less in height. They're covered with long, matted hair, very long arms, almost hanging down to the knees. Again, they're walking upright. And they have glowing green eyes. And there's this stench, like kind of like burning rubber in the air. And they're amazed at what they're seeing. And finally, one of the young boys yells at the farmer's son to shoot him, and he was reluctant. Finally, he fired, realized he had just a tracer and just was a bright flash. And then he fired again, and when he fired the second tracer, the largest of the two creatures, like, reached out to grab the tracer.
He caught it?
No, he went up to grab it. And at the moment he did that, the object in the field disappeared. It didn't take off. It disappeared. It vanished. The sound went out, the light disappeared, and the two creatures began to turn around and walk along the fence line back towards the woods. The farmer's son fired into them with live ammo. Sure, he hit it, at least one of them, but there was no indication of anything happening to them. Well, by that point, one of the boys was so scared he had already run out of the field back down towards the farmhouse. The farmer's son, the other boy, soon ran after him, went back towards the farmhouse and tried to explain to the family what had happened. They got him out and took him to another neighbor's home where they called the state police. And about 45 minutes later, the trooper arrived on the scene, and he said, "I'm here to investigate the flying saucer." And, of course, the witness said, "Just forget about it. You can think I'm nuts." And the trooper said, "Look, we had a report last night of two similar creatures seen on another mountain area, and I have to investigate." So anyhow, they go up in the troop car up into the pasture, and they're get out, and they're walking around, and they go over to the area where the object had been seen. And the trooper said that the whole area was self-luminescent and glowing, about 100 or 150 feet in diameter. He said it was bright enough that he could have read a newspaper by it if he sat down within it. He shined his flashlight beam into it, and he said he could barely see the beam. Temperature appeared to be a little higher within the diameter of that light than on the outside perimeter. And the animals wouldn't go into the air. They tried to force some of the farm animals into it. They wouldn't go near it. Well, he was pretty intrigued by that. And they began to follow along the wood line where the creature had been seen.
Yeah.
And as they're walking along, something heavy is walking with them. And they stop. It takes a few more steps. And he and the witness both feel there's something close by. Now, at this point, and up until the key witness passed away several years ago, he never changed the story. I believe he always told the truth, that actually at that point they heard a sound, he shined his flashlight, and about 10 feet ahead of them was the biggest of the two creatures, and between the creature and them was this fence. And this gentleman had one round of ammo left in his gun, and he fired right into this thing. And he said it was like a thump. The creature rushed at the fence, hit the fence. The two witnesses took off, jumped into the patrol car, said they were kind of all both in shock. The trooper was going around in circles for a short time in the car, and he finally got out of there, and he called to the barracks, said they were coming in. And, of course, the dispatcher said he found little green men out there, and the trooper said there's definitely something out here. And when they got back to the barracks, they were both separately interviewed. The trooper was taken into one room, the witness into another. They were interviewed by other troopers, and after that, the trooper called me, And that's at the point where he had the witness talk to me about what had happened. And we got our team together and proceeded up to the area. It took us some time. It was early morning hours till we got there. And when we got up there to the area, just to make the story short, we checked if radiation was no unusual radiation level. The glow was now gone, but the animal still would not go into the area. Well, we had the several vehicles with us and two-way radios, and we're up there looking around the area. Now, you got to understand that this is out in the middle of no man's land,
right.
Early morning hours. It's desolate, and there's farm animals up there. And I did not see this, but several people in our group noticed that about 700 feet away at the farmhouse, all of a sudden the entire farmhouse illuminated like daylight for a few seconds, and then it disappeared. So several of our fellows and their four-wheel drives went down that area. We were in touch with them by radio, and they searched around and didn't see anything. So they came back up. Well, in the meantime, my assistant, George Lutz, who worked with me for years and years as a former Air Force pilot and officer, worked with me since 1972 on these cases, he was on one side of the witness. As I mentioned, this witness was quite a big fellow. At this point, that boy's father showed up at the scene as well, and he's on the other side, and they're talking to him, and my assistant George is asking the witness questions about what happened and where it happened, what took place, and all of a sudden he's not getting a response. The guy's kind of not responding, and he's watching this guy, and the guy seems to be shaking a little, and he's rubbing his head. And all of a sudden, and this is very amazing, and also what you have to understand is we had two tape recorders going at the same time, so all this was on tape and is on tape. All of a sudden, as this fellow's not responding, he leaves out this growl, and he throws my assistant, his father, to the ground. And this guy's out in the middle of the field with his hands clenched like rocks, like claws, and he's growling and making these ungodly screams. And all of a sudden, his own dog attacks, which you can hear the dog whimpering on the tape.
I mean, like he's possessed?
For a better term, I guess you would have to say that.
Yeah.
And he's out in the middle of the field making some of this, at least one scream, I'm not sure a human could even been able to emanate. And all of a sudden, as this is all done, after maybe several seconds to a minute, it's hard to remember at this point, he falls flat down, face down into the field. Okay, so of course, we all get over to him right away, and he begins to come out of this trance-like state, get back, it's still here. And this fellow who has, we found out later, really has no interest in religion, no religious background, begins to talk about the end of the world, that he saw a man with a sigh, like death, and began to talk about predictions about the end of the world. And it was amazing what's going on. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll sound like a disconnection there.
No.
To make the story even more fascinating, while we're all in the field, all of a sudden, there's this tremendous wave, like sulfur, comes out of the field. And two of my fellows are having trouble breathing. They're down on their knees.
That same kind of odor that other people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all smelled this terrific, out of nowhere, this very strong chemical-like odor. And at that point, none of us knew what was going to happen next. Our main concern was to get the witness out of there. And we got him out of there. It was hard for him to walk. And we got him and the other people out of the area.